Maria, a very, very warm welcome to South Africa.
Thank you. Good morning.
And now you're one of us.
Yes.
Did you see the hesitation there? She had no idea how to react to that.
I haven't developed the accent yet, but I'm working on it.
Oh, no, don't. Yeah. We think people with British accents are much more intelligent.
Yeah.
Okay. So keep going at that. It's the same as when we go to America. They think we're much smarter than they are because we've got a South African accent. I mean, the truth is we are smarter than they are, but they make that assumption just because of that. All right, so we'll come back to the EMDR thing because I think that form of trauma therapy is always interesting for our listeners. But I do want to talk about perfectionism because I think this is something that I've certainly noticed that is becoming more and more prevalent, problematic, and I believe very, very dangerous. What is it?
Absolutely. Well, I've also been noticing it recently. And I think it's important for both adults and children to listen to this because it's clearly an epidemic in this generation. You know, I think, you know, how often do we hear this phrase, striving for excellence?
And that
people need to be the top, you know,
the
like the best. You know, you want to get the best grades in school, you know, or you need to be the top tennis player in the world. And you know, that you're not allowed to be second best in this generation. You know, there seems to be no room for just being good or good enough.
And of course that extends, I mean, I don't want to point fingers at my co-host sitting across the table from me.
Well, she is perfect, no?
So, but you know, when you look at social media, of course we put our best pictures forward.
Right.
We're living our best Instagram life, aren't we?
Well, yeah, I have such a gripe with that, you know, and I see it with teenagers that, you know, you're constantly on the, having to post the perfect selfie and it has to be airbrushed and beautiful and, you know, they end up looking like Disney, cartoons.
Why was that side eye?
What?
What's happening with that side eye? I saw a side eye.
Yeah, well, I didn't want to be rude in that. I didn't want to point fingers directly at you. The truth is we're all the same. So some of us might be striving for the perfect Instagram photo. Others are striving for the perfect image around our families or moms, I think,
the
perfect mom, the perfect school lunch. I've written articles on it.
I
tell you, it's an affliction.
And, coming up, the perfect Mishloch Manot.
You've
got to be the most creative, the most brilliant and beautiful.
The flip side of that, of course, is we do want to strive for good things. We do want to strive for excellence. So how do we balance this? What went wrong?
So I think there does need to be a balance. And the danger is if we can only produce and achieve by being absolutely brilliant, then people are going to be scared to try. And I think we need to encourage our children and ourselves to try hard, work hard, and do our best. But at the end of the day, you know, whatever you achieve is good enough.
I'm going to be extremely controversial, but you know what? It's just kind of who I am. I blame Art Scrolls a lot for this as well.
Can you explain that?
Right, I'm going to have to explain it because half of our listeners aren't Jewish, and many haven't read Art Scrolls either. So what is Art Scrolls? Art Scrolls is a phenomenal Jewish publication house.
Yeah.
Absolutely phenomenal. They do amazing things. But what they also did was they started introducing us to the lives of our rabbis
Gedolim,
in the past, that we call the Gedolim. And the problem with that is they airbrushed their lives. So very, very few of them, when we read about their lives, we don't see, you don't need to comment on, especially because you're married to a rabbi.
Who's far from perfect. No, not really.
you see, so that's it. That's the balance in any marriage. So the problem is that we've airbrushed people. Whereas it actually doesn't, saying that people might have had anger issues, might have battled with one issue or another, just makes us human. It by turning our past rabbis, for example, into perfect beings, it actually removes them from us. So we are no longer able to strive for them. Why? Because I do sleep at night. You know, I don't learn all night and catnap just to get, you know, and I do eat and I do sometimes get angry with my children and I do sometimes feel jealous of my neighbor. Mm. So that's more real. And I think that what we do is by elevating and, you know, our past, let's say rabbis, and then we start, you bring it to this generation, because I don't want you to have to comment
on that. Well, what I would like to say about that is that I used to be a teacher, and I used to try really hard to model, you know, making mistakes in the classroom so that my pupils would see that, you know, even though I'm an adult, I'm not perfect.
Right.
And it's okay to mess up.
Right.
You know, it makes you more human, more vulnerable. I think that's just an important lesson for our children to see. Recently, actually, my daughter came home and told me that her teacher actually asked the kids to help her spell on the board because she has an issue with spelling.
Oh, how wonderful.
And I just thought,
such
good modeling of imperfection.
Absolutely.
Wouldn't you say?
That is a good teacher.
Right.
That
you
is
know,
incredible.
It's a life lesson that you know, okay, I'm standing in front of you and I am a teacher. I've been a teacher for 20 years and I know what I'm talking about, but I also, you know, I'm fallible and don't always spell well.
I actually feel so proud of whoever that teacher is because I think that is an incredible lesson. And that's what we don't do, is we don't recognize it. And unfortunately, so what that does, I think, and that's what I'd like to hear further from you around, is what is the result of perfectionism? Mm. What is the downside?
Okay. Well, I think it can really, you know, verge on extreme mental health issues, to be honest. I think, you know, I see it with clients coming out in many, many different forms. I mean, you can obviously guess, but you know, there's eating disorders, anorexia, OCD, because you've got to get it absolutely right. And, you know, it's never going to be perfect, you know.
Mm.
Obviously, it can lead to depression because you're just not achieving the top, so.
And you're always disappointing, and you're always disappointing yourself then.
Right, yeah. And I think a lot of these individuals feel that they can't accept themselves, you know, and that is just so devastating. They feel they need to be validated by the people by getting these top grades or being the most popular, getting the most likes. Or on Facebook or whatever it is. You know, it's devastating to see.
Joining us in studio, Maria Bider, we're talking about perfectionism. Your thoughts, Zanati, you had a question.
Yeah, so I actually, from what I've realized is that it doesn't even come from the individual. It comes from pressures from outside.
Mm.
And it's so sad that the more you achieve, the more people expect you to be perfect. So I learned this when Bonang, TV presenter, she is one of my biggest role models. So her career is absolutely impeccable. She is perfect, but she's not. And we realized this when she released her book. And her book was full of grammatical errors spelling mistakes. And everybody has always gone on about how she always has this incredible team. So why is it that this one thing she completely failed? And I actually got the book because she released another batch.
They fixed it up,
fixed it. Mm. And I deliberately didn't get the one that was fixed up. I got the one with this.
Because you wanted to see her as real.
Exactly. Maggie. And it made her so much more human for me. Imagine this is one of my biggest role models. And I actually realized that even in her career that she works so hard for to be perfect, but she still makes mistakes even at that level.
And how do you respond to that?
But that's the thing. It made me okay with myself failing and making mistakes as well, because people will make mistakes. It doesn't matter which level, which position in their career they're in.
So she actually became an even better role model to you because you saw she was human.
Exactly.
And I think that's what people want to see.
Yeah.
You know, I just think it's so important to be encouraging this sort of showing our imperfections, especially to our children, because as you said, it really is a disease.
I'm trying to show less imperfections to my children. I feel like they are way, way too tuned in to my imperfections, but that's something I guess completely different.
But it's healthy. It's okay.
I guess is it a Jewish thing?
Yeah, I'm wondering that.
You know, so, is the Jewish community more at risk for this? In some ways, obviously not, you know, we're never going to be the perfect sports people or fashion models.
But I do think one area in which you see it is that, you know, in the religious world, that, you know, boys are encouraged to go to the top yeshiva, you know, and girls are encouraged to, you know, look for the top shidduch. Mm. And again, it's just not a reality.
Being a husband. So, you know, it becomes about that. Zanati, your experience in this?
I think with us, it comes in terms of marriage. So a common thing that is always said by the elders in a marriage, that it doesn't matter to a woman, that it doesn't matter what he does, you must just hang in there. And that is you. So you're not a perfect wife if you don't hang in there, that whatever he does, you don't just leave.
Yeah, because it also doesn't look good if you leave.
Yes, exactly.
Because it'll be looked down upon.
Yeah.
Because then you don't have this perfect marriage. Mm-hmm. And even if you've got to endure, look, I think that's very much, unfortunately, in some parts of the Jewish religious world as well, is women are encouraged to put up with an enormous amount of sometimes terrible things because of what divorce looks like. It doesn't look good. There's a stigma to it because it looks imperfect.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And that's a huge problem, you know, and I've seen that in my work in Israel.
Right. What's interesting to me is when I go to a function where I might know the people, but maybe not know them that, obviously I know that their mothers wouldn't be there, but you know, not close friends. And I enjoy the speeches, and I enjoy that type of, you know, hearing, learning about the family. But what always disappoints me is when you don't get this insight into who they actually are. So it becomes this almost formulaic speech about how good mom is and how good dad is, and dad does this and mom does that, and everything's perfect because and there's nothing that gives you an insight into the real, and it's terrible, because what we're doing is creating the society, and I keep going back to social media, but I think social media has given us an expression of this perfectionism that is so dangerous, because we can't get underneath it to see what's real.
Right. And that means false, totally.
But also, how do you deal with that outside pressure? Because I mean, even with, you know, a lot of celebrities, they expect you to be perfect. So in a case where a random person on Twitter makes fun of you or criticizes you or something, you can't even reply, because people expect you to be perfect and to be poised and to always to ignore the drama. How do you deal with that pressure?
Mm. Right. It's interesting, because I actually think that, you know, that's one of the reasons Harry and Meghan left the royal family. I think the pressure was just too...
Oh, please, Meg. She...
Oh, you're not very sympathetic to them, are you?
To the Markles, not one, but I think she took a role and she played a role. She played it for a short while, got tired of it and moved along.
No, my empathy lies with Harry.
Yes, everybody does. Yes. Every British person, because he's the quintessential orphan, isn't he? He's going to always be that little boy who lost his mom, and
has tremendous trauma,
and such
and
trauma,
and is trying to deal with it.
Right, says the EMDR therapist.
Yes, exactly.
As Stan says, being perfect myself, it's just very hard for me to comment on this conversation. Alrighty, but it is interesting, because
and I think another aspect of it is that, you know, when you talk about people making speeches about their parents being perfect and wonderful and everything's so good, you know, I think underneath it there's a huge fear, you know, and a fear of rejection, a fear of not being accepted by the world, by society, by peers.
That's interesting. You're right. Very, very interesting. Melinda says, my issue is my children. My 9-year-old has a hectic performance anxiety, which surprised us, because as parents, we are as long as you tried your best type of parents. Mm. But she's so self-critical, sometimes she won't even try because she's convinced she's going to fail. So this is so interesting what Melinda's saying, because
people become paralyzed. They can't try.
As parents, they're aware of it and are not putting that pressure on her, on their child. But she's found that pressure somewhere. So is that innate, or does it come from our society?
I really think it has a lot to do with this generation and our society. I mean, when we were kids and we performed in school, you know, the parents were not sitting there with, you know, their phones videoing it.
No,
so no one was going to see it again.
If they were there at all, it was something.
Right. Is that something you want to talk about, Howard?
Right. Oh, no. I've let it go. It's in my first book. I don't need to deal with that anymore. We are running out of time, unfortunately. Very, very interesting conversation. Last time we spoke, EMDR, is that trauma therapy, is that right?
Yes. I mean, it's just a part of what I do. Mm-hmm. I'm currently just opened a private practice here.
Oh, how awesome. So you've come to South Africa.
Yep.
And you are living here for a while, and you've opened a practice.
Mm-hmm. Well, I just couldn't wait to start working here.
Well, I think we are the home of post-traumatic stress disorder. I think we're ground zero, aren't we, Zanati?
We really are, definitely.
I think that's so amazing. If someone wants to get hold of you, what do they do?
Yeah, they can call me.
Phone numbers. Are you on Facebook?
Email, and I will be on Facebook.
Oh, I think just give me an email address. That's perfect. Okay. What is your email address?
Yeah, mariabider10@gmail.com.
mariabider10. Or you can just ask me. I'll just send a message, and we can certainly pass that on.
Thank you.
Absolutely amazing. Fascinating. I'd love your thoughts on perfectionism. I do think that I'm trying to think about where I read it when I was chatting to Maria and she spoke about perfectionism. I had read about one of the celebrities in it. I think it was an American. I don't know if it was Beyonce, but it was somebody who most definitely is dealing with this as a problem and trying to work through it. Really, really fascinating. And I believe that we're going to be hearing more about perfectionism. Just remember where you heard it first. It is 8:30. I'm Howard Feldman. A very good morning.